If you have a Bible tonight, you'll find our text in Luke's Gospel. Luke's Gospel. We thank the Lord for the privilege to be here tonight. I know it's pretty hot up here, this mic. I know I'm... Now he's cut me all the way off. I shouldn't have said anything, should I? It's a joy to be here tonight. I appreciate all of you that have come and appreciate Brother Billy allowing me to be here. Great honor to be back here at Benson Grove, and do not take it for granted lightly. Appreciate the good singing tonight from Eric and his family, and appreciate all your kindness. Appreciate Regina cooking for us last night. As I could have gone home after that. It's highlight of the meeting. Good home-cooked dinner. I don't know if any of you study the Bible outside of church, but we do have a couple of spots you can go if you're interested in studying the Bible with us. We do a live stream every week, but we have a website, tomgillum.com, and there's probably over 300 videos on there. There's some written material, and there's some audio material there, and I do have a YouTube channel, at 714 Preacher. There's probably a couple of hundred videos there if you're interested in studying the Word of God. We'd certainly love to do that with you. We began this morning, want to continue tonight, looking at various and sundry people in the Bible that had a relationship with a tree, and preaching on the subject of being rightly related to the tree. This morning we looked at Adam and Eve. They found themselves behind a tree. It was the tree of the fallen. I want to go tonight to Luke's Gospel, chapter number 19, where Zacchaeus found himself up a tree. It was the tree of the favored. This little story here is bigger, yes, much bigger than the little song you learned in kindergarten. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. The story is bigger. Oh, so much bigger than that. I myself have learned three lessons from this little story, Zacchaeus up a tree. I have learned them in form of question. I would ask you the question tonight. I wouldn't ask you if you've been down the Romans Road, the German Road, or the French Road. I wouldn't ask you if you ever prayed the sinner's prayer, or been baptized in a baptismal pool, joined the Baptist church. Hell will be full of people that did all those things. I would ask you this question. Have you ever been treed? Has God ever treed you? Because if he ever treed you, he's going to do some things in your life. Another question, that lesson that I have learned from this little story. Do you have any desire at all to say a word to a sinner that God could possibly use it to tree him? The other little thought that I've learned from this little story, do you know of anybody tonight got a burden for them that they need to be treed? You got any grandchildren? Any youngins tonight that need to be treed? As we begin to unpack this story tonight, Zacchaeus found himself up a tree. I thank God for the day in Chesapeake, Virginia, July the 14th, 1968. I was sitting on the back row of a Baptist church minding my own business, wishing that the preacher would shut up so I could go home. that he come back there on the back row and treated me. And I ain't never got over it. Amen. And so I ask you tonight, have you ever been treated? As we begin to unpack this story tonight, I notice Zacchaeus' horrible state. He's in a horrible state. I notice the state of himself. The Bible says in verse number 2, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was a chief among the publicans. He was a publican. He was a tax collector. Matter of fact, he was the chief. He was the boss over all of the tax collectors. He's an IRS agent. No great light for IRS agents. And if possibly you're an IRS agent, or you're listening tonight online and you're an IRS agent, my name is Billy Cashwell. They would set up alongside the road, and they would make a gate. And in order for you to pass, they would set up some horrible amount, and you would have to pay that. And they would take part of that money and send a percentage of it to Rome. He was in authority over all of the tax collectors. I thought it was interesting that Holy Ghost, through divine inspiration, would mention to us that he was rich. It may be some of you here tonight that are rich. You're well off. You have plenty of money. Money's not an item for you. I would remind you tonight that Jesus himself said it would be easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle and for you to ever see heaven. He was a rich man. He said he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press. Old Zacchaeus had one little problem. Verse 3 said he was little of stature, shorty, if you would. I don't know if you've had much dealings with short people. I was friends with a short person. He was 5 foot tall all our growing up days. He was not a humble person. A lot of times short people, not humble people. They're often full of pride, full of self-consciousness, self-centered. They're often loud, braggadocious, cocky, degrading. They have to be loud to make up for the fact that they're shorty. So he's a tax collector. He's the boss of the tax collectors. He's loaded, but he's short. His state is horrible. But I notice in the text that there's a state of his seeking. The Bible says in our story in verse number 7, and when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to, let's back up a little bit. Verse number 4, it says, and he ran and climbed up in a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. He's climbed up into a sycamore tree. He's got this little problem. I don't even know if you can get it or not. You might have to have a doctor's degree in theology to see this. The reason why he climbed up in a sycamore tree, because he couldn't see. How come? He's short. It really bears out the thought Jesus said in John chapter 3, lest a man be born again, he cannot see. It really bears out what Jesus said in John chapter 6. He said, no man come to the Son
unless the Father draw him. It really bears out what Paul said in 1 Corinthians, the natural man receiveth not the things of God. No man seeks after God unless God puts seeking in his heart. If you have ever sought after God or have any desire to seek after God tonight, because God put it there. You were not, you didn't come out of your mother's womb with the seeking gene. Oh, no, 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 no. Ain't a word of it so. State of seeking. Zacchaeus' horrible state. But I see in our text Zacchaeus' humbling state. He climbed up into a sycamore tree, the Bible tells us. In our text, for he wanted to see. When he climbed up into that sycamore tree, it was a humbling step for him. How come? He is telling everybody in town, I can't see. Because I'm shorty. It was a great step for him when he climbed up into that tree. I was wondering tonight, not being nosy, God forbid I'd stick my nose in your business. Do you remember the first time God ever humbled you and told you, you can't see? You're listening to me tonight. Zacchaeus has climbed up into this tree. It is the Bible that tells us to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, and in due season, he will exalt us. Oh, Zacchaeus has climbed up the tree. It is a great step for him because he is arrogant. He is cocky. He has never told anybody, I can't. But he has when he climbed up this tree. I cannot see, was a humbling admission. But I notice Zacchaeus' humbling step. Not only was it a humbling admission, but there was a holy commission. I notice in chapter number 19 in verse 10, Jesus has orchestrated this entire treeing operation for one reason. He said, for the Son of Man is come to seek. That's an interesting little Greek word there, seek. The little word means causing someone else to seek because you have sought them. The only reason Zacchaeus climbed this tree is because Jesus is seeking after him. You'll never seek Jesus until he first starts seeking you. So if you've got this little hankering in you tonight to seek God and you're lost, I would go on and wave the white flag because he is going to run you down, even if he has to tree you. Are you listening to me tonight? He says that he has come to seek and to save, the text tells us in verse 10. A holy commission. He's got a purpose. That little word save means to deliver or snatch from the brink of perishing. He has come to this tree for one thing. He's going to stop Zacchaeus from going to hell. And when he makes up his mind, he's going to stop you from going to hell, make yourself a note. He's going to stop you from going to hell. I love the hell out of that, don't you? He said he come to seek and to save. Everybody? No! He said he only come to seek and save the lost. There's an interesting state. Those who are dead spiritually, they're blind, they're deaf, they're dumb, they cannot see. I love that, don't you? Someone asked old B.B. Caldwell years ago, he is an evangelist, preached all over this country. Somebody asked him, said, Brother Caldwell, said, you trying to get people saved? He said, absolutely not. He said, I ain't never trying to get nobody saved. I hear preachers all the time, they're trying to get some folks saved. Old Caldwell said, I ain't never trying to get nobody saved. They said, Brother Caldwell, what in the world are you out here for? He said, I'm trying to get people lost. See, a person never gets lost, he gets saved. Amen. See, there's some of you here tonight, you claim to be saved, but you ain't never been lost. I thought what we do tonight, we start over here, just go down the aisle, we cross over, come back up here, and you stand up and tell us about your lost story. Oh, don't look at the back door like you're going to go to the bathroom. I ain't going to do it. Scared you to death. I tell you, you better have a lost story. You ain't never been lost, you ain't saved. He come to seek and to save that which was lost. I got a dear friend. I preach for him a lot. One or two that I can sleep in my own bed and preach for him. He's only about 30 minutes from the house. And he's telling me a story not long ago. A little girl, well, she ain't a little girl now, she's a grown woman. She grew up in his church. And he told me over the years, growing up, she came with her grandparents. She lived with her grandparents. Grandparents raised her. And he said she come all the way through her younger days. And he said from time to time, he said, I never saw her do nothing spiritually in the church, zero. And he said from time to time, he said, I'd greet her and I'd ask her. He said, God ever troubled you about anything? She said, no, preacher, not as I know of. Came on up through college. She went to University of Georgia. He said, Tom, he said, I'd call her every month or two and call her on a cell phone, and she was always nice and friendly, a good greeting. And he said, I'd talk to her a little while. And he said, sometime during the conversation, he'd asked her, he said, God ever troubled you about anything? No, preacher, not as I know of. He said, this went on. She finished at University of Georgia, graduated, come back to home, got a job, went right back in there with the church. He said, from time to time, I'd asked her. Some time ago, he was preaching on Wednesday night, and he got done preaching, and he had said amen. He looked back there, and Bud, she had run out the back door. Grandpa come up, he asked me, he said, what in the world is wrong with your granddaughter? He said, I don't know what in the world is wrong with her. He said, man, she hit that back door, didn't you? He said, yeah. He said, I got home about 30 minutes later, and the phone rung. And he said, I looked at my cell phone. It was her number. He said, I answered the phone. He said, I couldn't hardly understand that she's crying so. He said, Brenda, she said, God started troubling me tonight. She said, I pulled off on the side of the road, and he saved me. He said, where in the world are you at? She said, I'm down here today, queen, telling everybody God saved me tonight. The world happened to her. Oh, he treated her. This treeing thing is a traumatic thing when God saves a sinner, when they pass from death unto life, when they come out of the dark and into the light. Are you listening to me tonight? Oh, there is a holy commission tonight. I see not only Zacchaeus' horrible state, humbling step, but I see Zacchaeus' harvesting Savior. The Bible says there's a purposeful Savior. It says in verse number 4, and he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. I was interested in that little phrase, where he was to pass that way. God had already ordained that he was going to meet Zacchaeus at the bottom of this tree long before the thought ever come into Zacchaeus' head that he was going to climb a tree. God had already planned it. I love that, don't you? Isn't that like the woman at the well? He says he must needs go through Samaria. What in the world are you going through Samaria for? They're going to be old Harley Gail down there. She's been married to 5 different men. The man she's living with right now, she ain't even married to him. She said, I'm going to tree her down by the well. I got to thinking about that. That morning in Chesapeake, Virginia, on the back row of that church, he had already planned the whole thing long before I got there. I was ignoring the whole thing, but he wasn't. He knew I was going to be there. He had already planned that he was going to stop by there and treat me. Oh, he is a purposeful Savior. I tell you, the day you got saved, it was no accident. If you're here and lost tonight, he's reminding you one more time that you're going to hell when you die if you don't get saved. One more time. He has purposefully. You just thought you just came over here to come over here. Oh, no. He might want to treat you tonight. Not only is there a purposeful Savior, but there's a precious Savior. The Bible says in verse number 5, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, that was interesting. How did he know his name? Did you know that he knows the name of every person he'll ever redeem? And if you die and go to hell, he ain't never knowed your name. Hello. Don't y'all remember the rich man and Lazarus story? The Bible says that Lazarus died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man died and in hell he lift up his eyes. He was always called whatchamacallit. All eternity he had no name. I love the morning that he come down there in Chesapeake, Virginia and said, Tom, I've come here to tree you today. I love that, don't you? 2 Timothy says, the foundation of God standing sure, he knows them that are his. Paul said, John said, my sheep know my voice and I know them. Says in our text, verse number 9, he said, this day salvation come to this house, for as much also is he a son of Abraham. Here's a favor. He says, you have been a earthly Jew, son of Abraham. The little word son that he uses here is the same word that God the Father uses. It is the pet name he gave his son. He said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. He's not got an earthly connection to the Jews anymore. He has an eternal connection with the Jews now. It is a term of adoption. Oh, that's exactly what he did when he come to that back row in Chesapeake, Virginia. He come to tell me, he said, Tom, I have come to finalize the adoption. How many of you believe this morning? This is yes, this is no, this is I don't know. Do you believe that Jesus adopted you, that he... That was weak, Brad. I think it could be louder. Do you believe that God has adopted you? If you believe that you believe he picked you. All adoptions is somebody picking somebody else. You say, I will take that one. I don't want that one. Hello. I have been a fat boy all my life. The only time I ever got picked, they said, we'll take Gillum if you give us first bat. That's the only time I ever got picked. He knowed I couldn't bat. He knowed he'd have to watch me all the way to heaven, but he says, I want him. And he treated me. Who in this world in their right mind would want an IRS agent? Jesus said, I want that one. I'm going to tree him. I love that, don't you? I'll stop right there and do a figure eight and shout. I notice Zacchaeus' hallowed salvation. It involved a revelation and regeneration. There was a divine call to Zacchaeus. When was it, preacher? Zacchaeus! I remember the day on that back row he called my name. Ain't nobody else hear it. I didn't hear it here. But it sounded like he was screaming it down here. Matter of fact, I don't know about you. I call my preacher. He's retired now. He's in his 90s. And I call him every year on July the 14th, say, preacher, I still got it. 1968. Him and I reminisce about it. He was preaching on the woman at the well. And the more he preached, I was trying to take a nap. But somebody had come and interrupted my nap. They wanted to treat me. And I came forward before he finished preaching. He's still preaching. I come down the aisle hollering, I'm going to hell if I don't get saved this morning. I was an introvert. I took zero on all oral book reports. I didn't even dress out for gym. I was in 10th grade on three different occasions. If somebody would have told me before I come to church that morning that I was going to run down the aisle hollering, I'm going to hell if I don't get saved, I'd say, you crazy. I ain't doing nothing like that. I tell you, if he ever trees you, you'll do strange and mysterious things. You listening to me? It involved a revelation. It involved regeneration. But I noticed that it involved a receiving and repentance. He says in verse number 6, and he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. There is a receiving. God ever treats you, you receive him. The Bible says, and Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, he called him Lord. No man can call him Lord but by the Holy Ghost. He said, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. If I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Hey, 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 hey. That sounds like repentance to me. He said, all the money I'm stole, I'm going to go door to door and give it back to him. This man's been changed. I was thinking about that light coming on in me. Brother Billy, years ago I was associate pastor up in Columbia, South Carolina. There was an old boy we used to pick up on the bus, and he got saved in ministry. I ain't heard nothing from him in 40 years. And I had a phone call some time ago. I was riding down the road, doing about 80 miles an hour in left-hand lane, and I noticed there's a call on my phone from Columbia, South Carolina. I started not to answer. Most of the time it's telemarketers. If your name don't come up on my phone, I don't usually answer it. I feel like a telemarketer. But for some reason, I answered it. He said, you don't know who this is. You ain't seen me in 40 years. He said, my name's Danny Hooker. I said, yeah, I remember you. He said, you told me one day that God could put a light on inside of me that no man could ever put it out. He said, I want you to know it's been 40 years, but it's still burning brightly. Amen. What happened to him over there in Columbia? He got treed. Well, you won't have to go by and pump up anybody that's treed. You won't have to call them up and wonder why they ain't here on Sunday night. Mark it down. They ain't never been treed. You ever been treed? Oh, you want to come over here. Because this is where they talk about being treed. This is where we rejoice together that we've been treed. Untreed people, this makes them nervous. One service every now and then is enough. The old songwriter said it well. Sinners, Jesus will receive. Sound the word of grace to all who the heavenly pathways lead. All who linger, all who fall, Christ receive a sinful man, even me, with all my sin. Sing it o'er and o'er again. Christ receiveth sinful men. Make the message clear and plain. Christ receiveth sinful men. I have ceased from my wanderings and going astray since Jesus came into my heart. And my sins, which were many, are all washed away since Jesus came into my heart. I am possessed of a hope that is steadfast and sure since Jesus came into my heart. And no dark clouds of doubt now my pathway obscure since Jesus came into my heart. Now my heart condemns me not. Pure before the law I stand. He who cleansed me from all spot, satisfied its last demands. I'll run those three questions by you again as Eric and them come tonight. Maybe going to play something, sing something, whatever he feels like he wants to do. Question number one, have you ever been treed? Are you listening to me tonight? Question number two, when is the last time, or has there ever been a time that you were overwhelmed with the day he treed you and you just had to get alone and thank him for the day he treed you? Are you listening to me? I guarantee you, I could ask Billy, and there's some of you here tonight, he ain't never seen you near an altar. You listening to me tonight? Has there been a time that you just got alone with God and was broke thanking him for treeing you? Question number three. Do you have a burden tonight? And would you be willing to give a word to that person that God might could use to tree them? We're standing, our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. They're going to sing or play or whatever he feels led to do. This altar's open. Maybe you just want to root you out a place in this altar and just have you a good old spell thinking about and thanking him for treeing you. Maybe you want to pray for somebody tonight that needs to be treed. Could it be tonight someone is here and he's come there where you're sitting, calling your name, telling you you're lost, and he has come here with purpose tonight to tree you? Why don't you root you out a place in this altar and ask God to have mercy on your never dying soul, save you tonight. While he plays, altar's open, you come tonight. Do whatever God would allow you to do. Zacchaeus, he found himself up a tree. Tree of the favored. I sure have been favored because I've been treed.